Tariffs as Weapons in Trump's Partisan Strife by Masahiro Matsumura. Since returning to the White House in 2025, President Donald Trump has reignited one of the most controversial tools of his political and economic arsenal, tariffs. In typical fashion, he has wielded them not with nuance, but with the blunt force of power politics, targeting not only strategic rivals like China, but also long-standing allies in Europe and East Asia. While many analysts interpret these measures as misguided or economically self-defeating, they overlook a deeper, more strategic logic. Trump's tariff policy is less about trade balances than it is about political warfare, a weapon deployed in a larger struggle against the entrenched globalist establishment. Mainstream economists and foreign policy commentators often view tariffs through a narrow, economistic lens. Will they reduce the trade deficit? Will they revive U.S. manufacturing? Will they raise prices for consumers? These are valid questions, but they miss the broader intent. Trump's strategy is not primarily technocratic. It is insurgent. It is a direct assault on the neoliberal consensus that dominated American policy for decades. His tariffs are not simply economic instruments, but symbolic and material blows against the deep state and the globalist financial elite that he and his supporters believe hollowed out the American middle class. In this context, Trump's trade policy is part of a larger political realignment. By imposing sweeping tariffs, he seeks to reposition the federal government away from reliance on the Federal Reserve and the financial sector, and toward a form of economic nationalism grounded in traditional state revenue mechanisms. Historically, tariffs were the primary source of federal revenue from the founding of the Republic in 1789 until the passage of the 16th Amendment in 1913, which legalized the income tax. In invoking tariffs, Trump is not merely adopting protectionist economics. He is resurrecting an older model of statecraft, one that bypasses financial intermediaries and strikes directly at what he portrays as the corrupt alliance between Wall Street and Washington. This shift also has profound implications for monetary politics. Under the current system, the federal government largely funds itself through debt issuance, which in turn feeds into the Federal Reserve's balance sheet and provides seigniorage profits. The regional Federal Reserve banks, including the powerful New York Fed, are technically owned by private commercial banks who receive a statutory 6% dividend on their paid-in capital. Although modest in aggregate terms, this dividend structure symbolizes the enduring influence of the financial sector over public monetary institutions. Trump's tariff-centered approach aims to disrupt this pattern, reducing the government's reliance on bond issuance and the Fed's balance sheet, and thereby loosening the grip of financial elites over fiscal and monetary policy. Critics will argue that this is a dangerous delusion. The United States has neither the skilled labor force nor the industrial infrastructure to support rapid reindustrialization. Decades of outsourcing and deunionization have hollowed out entire sectors of the economy. Even with high tariffs, the return of manufacturing jobs is likely to be limited and slow. Moreover, tariffs risk retaliation from key trading partners, increased consumer prices, and disruption of global supply chains. These concerns are valid but incomplete. Trump's trade agenda does not rest solely on economic efficacy. It is also a political gambit. In the short term, economic efficiency may well be sacrificed for political leverage. By antagonizing financial elites and globalist institutions, Trump consolidates support among disaffected voters who feel betrayed by the bipartisan consensus of free trade, financial deregulation, and foreign entanglements. In this sense, tariffs function not only as a fiscal tool, but also as a wedge issue, a populist rallying cry that aligns with broader attacks on the administrative state. This dual function, economic and political, is central to understanding Trump's strategy. His goal is not simply to fix the trade deficit, but to reconfigure the U.S. political economy around a new nationalist framework. Tariffs provide the revenue, the symbolism, and the structural shift necessary to do so. Whether this vision is feasible or desirable is a matter of intense debate, but its logic is internally coherent. Trump is not trying to save the old industrial economy so much as he is trying to destroy the neoliberal regime that replaced it. Indeed, One of the more radical implications of this approach is its challenge to the Federal Reserve itself. By minimizing the role of the central bank in national financing, Trump's policy threatens to undercut the traditional mechanisms through which private financial institutions profit from government borrowing. This confrontation is not merely rhetorical. It represents a genuine institutional conflict between a populist presidency seeking direct control over economic policy and a technocratic central bank designed to insulate monetary policy from political pressure. Of course, Trump's broader project, Make America Great Again, remains far from realization. The obstacles to reindustrialization are immense, and the global economy is more complex and interdependent than it was in the 19th century. Still, his strategy is not without precedent. Many great powers in history have used trade policy not only to build domestic industry, but to consolidate political power and reassert national sovereignty. Trump's tariffs are best understood in this tradition. They are not merely economic interventions, but acts of political realignment. They aim to destroy the ideological and institutional foundations of the post-Cold War global order and replace them with a new nationalist regime. Whether this effort succeeds or fails will depend less on trade figures and more on political outcomes, on whether Trump can finally defeat the establishment forces that have long resisted his insurgent agenda. In the end, the question is not whether Trump's tariffs are good or bad for GDP. The question is whether they are effective weapons in the broader partisan struggle that defines contemporary American politics. And on that front, the jury is still out, but the battle is very much on. Author Masahiro Matsumura, professor of international politics and national security at St. Andrews University in Osaka, Momoyama Gakuin-gak, Japan, published on World Geostrategic Insights on July 9, 2025. The views expressed in this article belong only to the author and do not necessarily reflect the views of World Geostrategic Insights.